Well, what kind of worker are you? Maybe you're saying, well, I'm not quite a worker yet, but I'm assuming if you're not a worker, you're probably a student. What kind of student are you? When you're supposed to be studying or working, are you the kind of person who gets obsessed with your work to the point of not being able to put it down or to stop thinking about it? Or are you the kind of person who wishes that you were somewhere else doing something more enjoyable? Now, I came across an article the other day which described four kinds of attitude that people can take to their jobs. You can either be a job lover, a job doer, a job hater, or in this article they said a job what, as in the sense of what am I here for, what am I doing? But I think we'll call that a job bludger, right? Now, the job lover is basically all work and no play. The job doer just sees work as a means to an end, like just going along, turning up at work for the sake of money, the pay packet at the end, or because you haven't got anything else better to do. The job hater, well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory, that one. And the job bludger is the person who wastes time at work, doing everything except what they're being paid to do. Now, what kind of student or worker are you following those categories? Do you think you fit any of those? Well, let's go through these. Let's start off with the job lover. Is there anyone here who's willing to admit that they love their job? No hands going up? That's a little bit sad, isn't it? Oh, Steve at the... Sorry, you wanted to keep it a secret. But anyway, there was someone up the back there who admits that they love their job. Now, I reckon I'd have to say that I come pretty close to being able to say I love my job. Actually, I'm very thankful to God for the honour of being able to serve Him here at this place and to get to know and interact with God's people here at 5C. Now, I also did some teaching previously in college, and I also enjoyed that experience too, but I must admit that marking essays wasn't very exciting. Now, if it was marking a Greek paper or a Hebrew paper, I found that interesting, but most of the time marking essays was a bit of a chore. Maybe that's perhaps why I like being here at 5C, do you think? No essays to mark? Anyway, thinking about it a bit more, there probably is something a bit more to it than just no essays here as to why I like this job. I reckon it's good to be able to love your job, if you can. Now, biblically speaking, work is actually everything we do, and the Bible also tells us that work is unavoidable for us humans because we've been created to work and saved to work. Everything we do is supposed to be linked in to the overriding work that God has given us humans to do. And that is the work of extending God's kingdom throughout the world. As we take God's word with us, wherever we go and whatever we do, we're working for Him. And when we plug what we do into that bigger picture, I reckon that we should love the work that God has given us to do, even though at times there might be difficulties. To give you just a small example here, like I just said, I love working here, right? Now, you'd think that my job, easy peasy, what do you think? I don't know. Sometimes I think, apart from obviously reading the Bible and preparing studies and things like that, often a lot of it is just listening to people, talking to people. And sometimes I think, well, can there be anything really difficult about that? But I must admit that something I've noticed, a bit of a pattern in my life, is that pretty much every Sunday after arriving back home after church, I frequently get a headache. And it's a headache that can last for several hours. In fact, sometimes it's lasted overnight all the way into Monday. Now, I really haven't worked out why that happens. But obviously it's connected in somehow with work here. And I think basically, what is it? It's just that work impacts on my energy levels. Now, perhaps you've felt something similar to that in your work situation or at school. Most times there's a price to pay, isn't there? All of that focus on work or study, it makes us tired. It takes energy to do work. I'd be surprised if there weren't anyone among us here who doesn't feel tired at the end of a long day at work or at school. So that's why being a job lover can potentially be dangerous. If all you do is work, then what about the rest that you need in order for your body and mind to be able to prepare for the next period of work? Now, a number of scientific studies have actually suggested that giving workers extra holidays can improve their overall productivity. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Give me an extra few days holiday each year and I'll be a better worker. But it makes sense. It's because they're sufficiently recharged. They have the energy and the focus to be able to achieve more over a shorter period of time than they would have if working for more hours. Apparently, Ford, the guy who set up the Ford Motor Company, found that his workers would achieve more over 5 days rather than 6 days a week. And so he instituted 5 days a week for his workers. Some other studies have suggested that taking mini breaks throughout the day, instead of just staring at the screen for hours on end thinking you're achieving a lot, can help you with your productivity and your creativity. So we can see from that that sometimes working too hard actually makes you inefficient. And friends, this is something that we see in the Bible too. Think about how God made the world. Now it's interesting that God actually took his time. Now I don't think he took his time because he has the problem of deficient energy levels. It's not as if God gets tired and he needs to rest. But he took his time, and we've got to ask the question, well, why did he take his time? There are actually some people out there who think that, well, 6 days, that seems too fast. They think that God would have to have millions of years in order to be able to create the universe. But biblically speaking, the surprising thing about how God created the world was that he took 6 days to do it. Like, 6 days? What are you doing, God? He could have done it all in the space of 4 days, you reckon? What about 2 days? He could have done it in the space of 2 days. In fact, even just 1 day. What about a split second? You reckon he could have created this universe in a split second? If he wanted to, he could have. And think about how he started off. We know, started off with Adam and Eve. But in the space of an extra microsecond or two, I'm sure that God could have created, in addition to Adam, he could have created Andrew and Anthony and Alex and Alfie and Ambrosio and Aaron. And in addition to Eve, I'm sure he could also have made Emily and Erica and Elaine and Evangeline and Evie, right? In fact, God could have done away with marriage and sex and childbirth altogether just by creating everyone in adult form in the blink of an eye. Every one of us, all 10 billion plus, we could have been there together having fun in the Garden of Eden. But God didn't choose to do things that way. Instead of an instant fix, God chose to go down the slow path. Do you know what that means? It's the path of work and historical development. He decided to take his time to work for 6 days before enjoying his Sabbath rest. Not because he gets tired easy or because he's lazy, but simply because he wanted us to be a part of what he was doing. He wants us to imitate him in contributing to his plan. And that's exactly the reason why we see that God's work pattern is held out in the Bible as the pattern that God's people are meant to follow. It's clearly there in the fourth commandment. When God said to the people of Israel, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the visitor who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and then rested on the seventh day." Notice there how Israel's pattern of 6 days' work and 1 day's rest was to be patterned after the way in which God created the world. And friends, this helps us to see why God took his time in making the world. He was wanting to establish a pattern for humanity to follow. He created the world in the way that he did because he wanted to become the model for how God's people should work. The pattern basically is work and then rest. If you love your job, if you love serving God in everything you do, that's a great place to be in. But don't forget the importance of rest. Your life might be busy, and hopefully it's busy because you're serving God, not yourself. But even if you're busy doing everything for God, make sure that you get enough rest and sleep in order to be able to have the strength to keep on working for God tomorrow. If you haven't been getting enough rest, then I suggest maybe you need to go to bed earlier, or actually to simplify your lifestyle somehow, or just learn how to say no. Remember, life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Well, what about the job doer? Are you someone who views the work you've got to do just as a means to an end? I think there are probably a lot of students among us here who think about study that way. Is the study process really exciting? Most of us, I think, if we're students, we're just studying because we think it's a means to an end. It's often viewed, isn't it, as a pathway to a career and money down the track. I'm sure for some of you here who have to go out to work every day, you probably think of your work along similar lines. It's just a means to an end. It's just something you have to do in order to get money, in order to survive, and to provide for yourself and your family. Now, if God has given you a job to do, then you need to do it. That's obvious. So it's good to be a job doer in the sense of completing the tasks that we've been given to do. There's also, biblically speaking, nothing wrong necessarily with seeing our work as a means to an end. After all, God has given the human race work to do with something greater in mind. God's created us not just to work, but to work for a purpose, as part of an ultimate goal. Just as God worked for 6 days and then entered into his rest, his promise to us is that as we follow his pattern, as we do the work that he has given us of extending his kingdom throughout the earth, then one day the work will be complete. And when it's complete, then, just like God, we will enter into our rest, an eternal Sabbath. When the task is complete, when everything's been realized, then we have the prospect of putting down our tools and enjoying eternally the fruits of our labor. So working for God in the here and now, it is a means to that greater end. We labor now for God and his kingdom, knowing that what we do now contributes to the eventual consummation of the kingdom of Christ. So it's possible to say that our work can rightly be a means to an end. But at the same time, God wants us to do what we do for his glory and for the benefit of others and for the world as a whole in the light of that bigger plan. It's true that we have a hope for the future, but we need to, as we see what we're doing in the light of the bigger picture, at the same time, we also need to make sure that we focus in on the work that we have to do in the present. There's a wonderful future out there. But if we're just thinking, oh, the future, how wonderful, 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 not actually doing anything now, we'll actually be neglecting the process by which we're supposed to arrive at that future. Not to focus on the present will actually endanger the realization of that future hope. So while our job might be a means to an end, make sure that you don't lose focus on what God wants you to do today. If done right, then focusing on the future should also lead us to focus on the tasks at hand, to do what we need to do today in the light of eternity. So, love your work, but make sure you get enough rest. Do the work that God has given you, but be mindful of the bigger picture as you focus in on the tasks at hand. But what about the job hater? Now, is there anyone here who really wants to confess that they hate their job? Any takers? Do you detest your job? Do you just want to do something else and not turn up at work every morning? Well, there can be reasons why you might hate your job. And some of those reasons might be legitimate. And when we think about Adam's situation, remember how God made Adam as the first worker? His first job was a cool job. He was set to rest as a worker in the Garden of Eden. It was a wonderful working holiday. But disobeying the boss's instructions, Adam was given the sack. He lost his job as a gardener on that permanent working holiday and instead became a farmer in the wilderness zone outside of the garden, that zone where work would become toil and food would be produced at the cost of human blood, sweat, and tears. So outside the garden isn't the ideal workplace. And friends, that can explain why sometimes work isn't a nice experience. Work at times can be painful. It can tire us out. That's the reality of the fall. But at the same time, there's a greater reality that needs to be recognized. And that is the reality of transformation in Jesus. Think about how Jesus' body was transformed from death to life through his resurrection. And the same power that transformed Jesus while lying there in the tomb, that same power can transform you and your attitude to work. Your work, whether it be study or paid employment, or perhaps unpaid employment, your work can be transformed by realizing that God has given you the work that you have to do as a means by which you are to serve him, to love others, and to care for the world at large. Now, I know some of you here might be at school. You might be studying calculus, right? It might be boring. But calculus actually has a place in the world. There's a purpose for it. It actually helps scientists understand the world better. It helps make the world a better place through engineering and architectural design and in aspects of medicine and pharmacy. Even something as mundane as serving food or selling chicken or moving goods into a warehouse, these things also have value. Once we see how supplying people with what they need to grow and develop fits in with the general care and concern that God has for every individual and for society as a whole. Your job can fit into God's plan if you see the connections. So make sure you think about that. Try and see how what you do fits in with God's kingdom purposes. It may be just giving people food so that they can survive and have an opportunity to live and to grow and hopefully hear the gospel at some time down the track. Once you see the connection between your work and God's work, you'll have the motivation to have a better attitude in the work that you currently have to do, even if it's not the most exciting work. All work this side of eternity will have its negatives. There will be some difficult times. Your boss might not be the easiest person to get along with. But in Christ, there is no job that he calls us to do here on earth that we should totally hate. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, even in the worst job possible, you can still serve God in that situation. Which brings us to our final category, the job bludger. Anyone want to confess this moment in time that you're a job bludger? Hopefully not. Now, I think we probably all know people who are a bit like this. They loaf around, not doing what they're supposed to be doing, like the student who never does any study, or the employee who calls in sick wherever possible, even when fully healthy, or who spends more time on personal business than work. The kind of person who misses meetings, misses deadlines, who frequently turns up late for work. It's the kind of picture we get in Proverbs 26, which talks about the sluggard. And it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. And they're probably rusty hinges, right? Turning over. There's also the description of the sluggard. He buries his hand in the dish, but it wears him out just to bring it back to his mouth. The bludger sleeps most of the day or lounges around, and even eating makes him tired. Now, the Bible has some strong warnings against being lazy. It says that the sluggard craves, wants these things, but will in the end get nothing. His way is like a hedge of thorns. His fields would be overgrown with thorns and thistles. And in the end, he'll die at his own hands because his hands refuse to work. Now think about it. Does God spend eternity just vegging out? Did Jesus come to earth for leisure or for pleasure? No. When we look at Jesus, we see him working conscientiously for the sake of the kingdom of God. And friends, that's exactly how God wants us to work for him too. So to sum up then, basically I think when we look at the biblical picture about how we're to work, we need to move from being job haters or job bludgers to being job lovers and job doers who understand the importance of work and rest in the bigger picture of the purposes of God. There can be no greater privilege in this universe than serving the King of creation. Just think about that. In the work that you have to do, what God offers us is the wonderful opportunity of being like someone who is invited into the palace to serve the King of Glory. As you go out to work or off to study each day, you're not just going to a job. You're actually going to serve God. At times it might be tiring, but really, if we're working for the King, we really should love that job.